Most human beings complain about the meanness of nature because we are born for a brief span of life and because the spell of time that has been given to us rushes by so swiftly and rapidly that with very few exceptions life ceases for the rest of us just when we are getting ready for it. Nor is it just the man in the street and the unthinking mass of people who groan over this as they see it, universal evil. The same feeling lies behind complaints from even distinguished men. Hence the dictum of the greatest of doctors. Life is short, art is long. Hence too the grievance, most improper to a wise man, which Aristotle expressed when he was taking nature to task for indulging animals with such long existences that they can live through 5 or 10 human lifetimes, while a far shorter limit is set for men who are born to a great and extensive destiny. It is not that we have a short time to live, but that we waste a lot of it. Life is long enough, and a sufficiently generous amount has been given to us for the highest achievements, if it were all well invested. But when it is wasted in heedless luxury and spent on no good activity, we are forced at last by death's final constraint to realize that it has passed away before we knew it was passing. So it is, we are not given a short life, but we make it short, and we are not ill supplied, but wasteful of it. Just as when ample and princely wealth falls to a bad owner, it is squandered in a moment. But wealth, however modest, if entrusted to a good custodian, increases with use. So our lifetime extends amply if you manage it properly. Why do we complain about nature? She has acted kindly. Life is long if you know how to use it. But one man is gripped by insatiable greed, another by a laborious dedication to useless tasks. One man is soaked in wine, another sluggish with idleness. One man is worn out by political ambition, which is always at the mercy of the judgment of others. Another, through hope of profit, is driven headlong over all lands and seas by the greed of trading. Some are tormented by a passion for army life, always intent on inflicting dangers on others or anxious about danger to themselves. Some are worn out by the self-imposed servitude of thankless attendance on the great. Many are occupied by either pursuing other people's money or complaining about their own. Many pursue no fixed goal, but are tossed about in ever-changing designs by a fickleness which is shifting, inconstant, and never satisfied with itself. Some have no aims at all for their life's course, but death takes them unawares as they yawn languidly, so much so that I cannot doubt the truth of that oracular remark of the greatest of poets. It is a small part of life we really live. Indeed, all the rest is not life, but merely time. Vices surround and assail men from every side, and do not allow them to rise again, and lift their eyes to discern the truth, but keep them overwhelmed and rooted in their desires. Never can they recover their true selves. If by chance they achieve some tranquility, just as a swell remains on the deep sea even after the wind has dropped, so they go on tossing about and never find rest from their desires. Do you think I am speaking only of those whose wickedness is acknowledged? Look at those whose good fortune people gather to see. They are choked by their own blessings. How many find their riches a burden? How many burst a blood vessel by their eloquence and their daily striving to show off their talents? How many are pale from constant pleasures? How many are left no freedom by the crowd of clients surrounding them? In a word, run through them all, from lowest to highest. One calls for legal assistance, another comes to help. One is on trial, another defends him. Another gives a judgment. No one makes his claim to himself, but each is exploited for another's sake. Ask about those whose names are learned by heart, and you will see that they have these distinguishing marks. X cultivates Y, and Y cultivates Z. No one bothers about himself. Again, certain people reveal the most stupid indignation. They complain about the pride of their superiors because they did not have time to give them an audience when they wanted one. But can anyone dare to complain about another's pride when he himself never has time for himself? Yet whoever you are, the great man has sometimes gazed upon you. Even if his look was patronizing, he has bent his ears to your words. He has let you walk beside him, but you never deign to look at yourself or listen to yourself. So you have no reason to claim credit from anyone for those attentions, since you showed them not because you wanted someone else's company, but because you could not bear your own.